Today we're going to look at the question about eating food sacrificed to idols, and one of the biggest concerns that was there in the Corinthian church is that they were having believers who were not really bothered about eating, you know, food that is sacrificed to idols. And remember, one of the challenges of the Corinthian church is that, yes, they were blessed in, you know, in gifts, in utterance, in knowledge, in spiritual gifts. Like if you want to say people are speaking in tongues, you'll find them in the Corinthian church. If you want to find people are healing people, casting out devils, you'll find them in the Corinthian church. If you want to find people prophesying, you know, all the listed gifts of the Holy Spirit, they are operational in the Corinthian church. And you see, that is, if we think today, that is one of the greatest markers of, you know, a church that is progressive and moving forward. And that is true. But you see, there is a difference between maturity and being gifted. And this, you know, ideally, when we look at how Paul addresses the Corinthian church, he is correcting error, he's correcting excesses, he's trying to address issues. He's talked about marriage, he's talked about divisions, they're dividing themselves. This one says, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Peter, I follow Christ. He's addressed issues of the church. And, you know, generally the church was just divided. They were behaving, you know, carnally, and, you know, thinking of wisdom and philosophy, and, you know, just trying to show they're wiser than the others. But one of the biggest controversies that they had was the issue of idolatry, or eating food offered to idols. And ideally what will happen is that, you know, in that time there were two main aspects of idol worship that are even there today, but it was quite common in Corinth. One was sleeping with temple prostitutes, and these were both male and female. And when they will go to worship, you know, to their pagan feasts, and to those, especially to the goddess Aphrodite, to the god Aphrodite, what would happen is that they would, I mean, have sleep with whoever was there, and I mean, that was a form of worship. And now you see, it was a bondage that was there. And another second thing that was there was the eating of food that is sacrificed to idols. And this is, you know, it's eaten at that point, you know, in the temple. You can see there's on one side people are eating and drinking, and the other side they're committing immorality. And that was part of the rituals. That was part of the, of, you know, of the worship. But you see, you have these Corinthian church members who are like, but a god is nothing. What is an idol? They're like, an idol does not mean anything. If I'm hungry, I can just go and eat. You understand? So to them, they is Paul who calls them the stronger believers. They have a stronger conscience. And they base their argument on that idols are actually nothing. They have no power, they have no capacity, they're weak, they're defeated, and that has an aspect of truth. And remember, Paul, one of the key statements that he says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. That means there are things that have some form of truth in one dimension, but also if they are examined in another light, then they don't hold the water. So it is a truth, yes. And this is a point of knowledge that the Corinthian church, part of the members had, that, yes, idols are nothing. We can eat food that is sacrificed to idols, and it will not harm us. And it will have not an issue with us. And I mean, you know, when you go to, when you're offered somewhere, don't raise questions about conscience. Go ahead, do it. Fine. Food is okay. But you see, there are questions, there are things that Paul addresses, and these are some of the things that we'll be able to see. Where do we draw the balance, and where is the wisdom that we must be able to take a stop and to know that this is something that we cannot do? It might not have an impact in our thoughts, in our knowledge, but you see, there is a greater aspect of it. There is something that is called the body. You find a weaker brother will come find you eating at the temple of idols, and he'll be like, ah, so it is okay, so I can do it. And before the person, they go back, they join you, they eat with you, and before you know it, they are back in idol worship, their conscience is destroyed. And Paul clearly asks it, that, don't you know that you're not acting in love? And later on also, in also 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he also says, don't you know that food, that those that sacrifice to idols, they sacrifice to demons. And I don't want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot share the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. And this is ideally the final destination that we must conclude at, that in as much as idols don't mean anything, in as much as idols are not as to the, they cannot be compared to God, at the end of the day, idols are offered to demons, and they are demons that are linked to idolatry. And when we partake of those tables, we actually share in the same cup. I know, like today in Cox's, we will share the cup of the table of the Lord, and God is like, will you share both? You know, will you share both? So we have to choose. We have to choose one and stick to it. Anyway, let us read 1 Corinthians chapter 8. It's a short chapter, and then we'll compare it with 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where Paul addresses the concern. Verse 1 says, now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Now, what does he say? We all have knowledge. I know all of us are smart. Oh, yeah, we know these things. But he says there's a problem. When you think you know, it makes you proud. And that's why he says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. What is edification? Edification is building up. Now, we are in that place where we are trying to not focus on what we know per se. It's not really about how much knowledge we have or how much education we have, but it is about the body of Christ. Are we building ourselves as brothers and sisters? Are we in the place where we are going to heaven together, where we want to reach heaven together? And that's why it says knowledge can puff you up. You know, where there is, you know, where you think you know so much. And this is, he's challenging the Corinthian church. You guys are depending on your knowledge. But let me tell you something. There's a law that is higher than knowledge. And that is the law of love. But love edifies. Verse 2. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. So if you think you know something, just you will be surprised that you still don't know it. And that is why, you know, when he has addressed human wisdom and God's wisdom, he says human wisdom is less than even God's foolishness. I mean, the point where human wisdom ends is where God starts. I mean, God's wisdom starts. That's just a starting point. And he says that even if you think you know, always remember that we know in part. You, I think you know something, but you know in part. You don't know in full. So yes, they knew that idols are worthless. They are nothing. They're just wooden things. But you see, there was also another part of knowledge they were not aware of, that idols are sacrificed to demons. And that is something that is very core. Now, verse 4 says, therefore, concerning the things of eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. Verse 5, for even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. Now, verse 7, it says, however, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some with consciousness of the idol until now eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled, But food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. But beware, lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who has knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Look at how Paul is addressing it. He's saying, at the end of the day, you have a choice. I know some of you are just going, you're eating, you have a strong conscience, you don't believe there is anything wrong with it, you know an idol is nothing, and even though there are so many lords and so many so-called gods, they are nothing, there's only one God. He says, yet for us there's only one God, the Father, in whom are all things, we for him, and one Lord Jesus, through whom are all things and through whom we live. Now, that is the place of now wisdom and knowledge. You can know, yes, that this idol is nothing. But you see, don't you know that this wooden thing, there is a demon that is linked to it? And this is a place where people just, you know, easily tread into either practices or items that are not really of God. And let me give an example. And maybe I remember when I was doing my studies in the UK, there was this guys who would always offer food. And every lunchtime, they were always in the parks, in the places near the schools. And definitely as students, you know, you're like on a shoestring budget and there's someone offering you free lunch. But the reality is they've offered it to their God, and they offer the food as a sacrifice. So as a student, we will go, and I included, we will go and, you know, eat the food and eat the lunch. And you're like, for me, I was like, what is an idol? It's nothing, you know, it's nothing. And I mean, at the end of the day, I'm getting a meal and all that. But then, on the other hand, one day I told my wife, and my wife was there, and she was like, but you know, this thing is food offered to idols. And now, in that moment, I now had that struggle within me, because I was like, but an idol is nothing. And on the other hand is, someone has raised the concern about conscience. Now, that aspect of it being raised actually got me to the point where I stopped. But before then, within me, I didn't have any bother, any concern, and I went ahead. But you see, when that aspect was brought, then at the end of your mind, you're like, you need to build the body of Christ. You need to edify. You need to get to a point where you stand firm and where you don't break another believer by the sake of your knowledge. Now, let us look at maybe so that we also balance it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's look at verse 23. The Bible's okay. Yeah, we can even read much higher than that. First Corinthians 10, verse 18. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are those not who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Verse 23, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. That means not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify, building up, build up the church. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Verse 25, eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you and for conscience's sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not of your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken for the food for which I give thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So you can see the concern of Paul and clearly addressing a big concern in Corinthian church. These guys, they're people who just, they, in their knowledge, they're like, whatever, idols are nothing, let's go eat the food, let's go join in. And he's like, no, you have to draw a balance. You have to draw a balance. So he addresses not only the eating in the temple, but also he also gives wisdom on how to approach when you're invited by an unbeliever. Now remember, that is an invitation to a meal in the house. That means it's fellowship, it's to get to know. Go. Don't bother to ask where the food came from. I mean, when you go to the market and you're buying meat, don't bother, is this halal, is this what? Eat whatever is available. Buy it, give glory to God, and eat. But you see, the difference is where you have to draw a balance. It's, you're now not going to go into the temple of Krishna or into a temple of another religion, and you're there partaking of their sacrifices. You're there partaking of their dances. You're there bowing to their idols. You're there, you know, enjoying their incense. You're there eating with them. You're there partaking of sexual immorality. Now, there is a balance, and this is really the place where we need to get to the point of. At that point, don't forget that even though that idol is a lifeless thing, it is linked to a demon, and there are demons that are connected with it. It's just like yoga. You find, oh, we are doing yoga, and these are the positions. When you think about it, at the end of the day, there is a spirit behind it. There is a demonic influence behind it. I know people will always go like, oh, this is secular, or is this secular? Is this Christian? Oh, where is Jesus in this? You must always remember that there is a point where things are linked to demonic spirits behind, even music. And I was listening to one of the preachers, he was saying the other day that, don't you know that some of these artists will tell them that when they're making music, they have to actually do incantations, and demons will actually come and take over them, take over their vocal cords. And by the time they're doing it, then it's actually not a human influence of that. There is a demonic influence. And yet you'll go like, oh, no, we can just dance. It's just good music. Let's dance together. And you don't realize that you are partaking in both sides. Now, you cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. It's very important that we strike the balance. Yes, you have liberty. Yes, there is liberty in Christ. And what is the liberty in Christ? God will not, there are things that he will not, I mean, what we call salvation issues. Food is not a salvation issue. In that, whether you eat or you don't eat, it does not define you're going to heaven. Salvation is based on our faith in God. faith in Christ for the salvation of our sins, it is Him who will present us to God. But you see, there are things that will either destroy the church, destroy other believers. It's just like this thing about taking wine and all that. It also falls here. You find that some people will believe wine is nothing. Food, I mean, at the end of the day, you can eat anything. You can take wine. And they go ahead and take it. And then before you know it, they're saying, oh, you know, I'm not a drunkard and all this. I'll go to heaven. But then you come back to the place of the word. The word is very clear. There are things that you do that might be liberty. You might be in the place of liberty, but it is not helpful. It is not beneficial. You, by your taking of your wine, you and you'll find this very common. You can find even, you go to a place, you find pastors and of maybe in a different continent or even in or a different denomination, and they're drinking. And the person who has just come out from the world and is like, oh, so it is okay to drink. And before you know it, that person who has just come back to God goes and joins them in the drinking, and that person is lost. Now, what some people will say, no, if I take, I will take it in my room and hide and do it. But you see, at the end of the day, if you're doing something that you have to hide, then it is not right. And the question I always ask is this: before God, what is the definition of a drunkard? Is it 5% alcohol concentration? Is it 10%? Because to someone, 5% and they are drunk. To another, 10% and they are drunk. To another, they have to get up to 50% is when they are drunk. Now, the person who drinks a crate before they are drunk, and the person who drinks just a bottle or a cup and they are drunk, at which point will God judge that this is now a drunkard? Now, this is not something that will be defined in the Bible, but the Bible tells us, do not be deceived. You can be sure of this. Drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not enter the kingdom of God. Drunkards, adulterers, sodomites, you know, all these thieves, the gluttons, they will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Now, do you want to find out what was God's measure of concentration on the day of judgment when it's too late? Or would you rather take to a point where you avoid it? And you see the argument that people use, oh, no, this pastor, I know him, and, you know, even all the people I was with, they will take alcohol and they'll still pray in tongues, they will still prophesy, they will still heal the sick. Yes, they are the Corinthian church. Gifts were working. Gifts are not the product of your relationship. Gifts are given. It's just like a child is born with certain gifts. They're born with it. But Jesus said, in that day, He will say, yes, you prophesied in my name. You healed the sick in my name. You cast out devils in my name. You raised the dead in my name. And He can tell you, depart from me. I never knew you, workers of iniquity. That word iniquity there is anomia, workers of illegalities. That means, yes, you had liberty, but it was not licensed for you to do it. We really have to get to a place of balance. And this is also a place where we have all failed in one way or another. But God gives us wisdom. God gives us grace. Let's not be proud in our knowledge, because that pride is the pride that silences the voice of the Holy Spirit. The voice of the Holy Spirit that speaks in our conscience, that tells us, here you've gone overboard, stop. Here you should not be doing this. This is a place where you're just arguing for the flesh's sake. Take a stop. And God is merciful and God is able to forgive and give us grace that we do not fall prey to all this. I'll stop here, and I pray that God will give us the wisdom and the balance in all this. My brothers and sisters, you're welcome.
Thank you, Doc. And the price was Right, when he said, man shall not live on bread alone. I think it is a matter of consciousness and the lack of knowledge, as you rightly said. As many Christians, young and mature, sometimes we look at certain things and we take them at face value without deeply looking at the implication, the far-reaching implications, not only to us internally, but also to those that are around us. I would want to say, I mean, do you see even days that I suggest eat when the mothers offer you food? People are quick to eat, you know?
True.
Eating in solidarity, eating in, so all this is, it's, you know, because of that lack of consciousness. And I admit I was one of those people who didn't know. I knew that it was not right to eat something that is offered right, but I didn't understand what exactly is wrong about that. But again, it's very clear. You cannot be dining with, you know, the darkness and at the same time with the light. It can't happen. You have to choose.
Yeah.
You choose which side you're going to dine with. So I think it's very clear. It is an area that is often overlooked. But thanks for sharing, and it's a great reminder.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Dr. Emmanuel. As I was listening to you, what I remembered, I was listening to a sermon, and what the preacher said was that the spirit realm is very legalistic in nature. And what some of these things can do is actually give access, you know? You don't know what was said over the food, the meat, when it was being when it was being offered. So then you go and then you partake of it. So you don't know what kind of access you have given the enemy. Yes, and you know God is a God of justice and he has his rules. So because the spiritual realm is very legalistic, if you might not even be, because they always say, there's that thing they say, ignorance of the law is not an excuse, something like that. So if maybe what they have said over the food is anybody that eats this, you know, and then you go ahead and you do it, you have given the enemy or whichever demons are attached to that particular altar access, and then that might lead to other things, you know, for you as a believer. So I think for me, it's very important that we are cautious, you know, especially when we know that this thing has been offered to an idol. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. No, it's really a place of knowledge and a place of reflection. And I really have, as you both put it, you have to just go back and question yourself. Is it really that you're hungry? Is it that, you know, that you really must? You know, I always consider it that, I mean, even think about it when you're with them of another religion, if they're very committed, like there's no day that if it's lunchtime, I mean, if it's a time for prayer, whether they're the president, whether they're whichever position, they will take a moment and they will move out. That's a non-debatable issue. But we ourselves are the ones who at times water down. At the end of the day, it gets to a point where they can't distinguish, you know. At the end of the day, someone will say, but what's the difference? I was born again, I was a sinner, I was doing this. Now I'm born again, I'm still doing this. So someone will lift their hands and say, I mean, there's no difference. I better just go back. And really, as we say, we really need to ask ourselves, how are we going to build our church, build the church, build other believers, and stay on the right track? And you're right, let's not give access. let's not give access to the enemy, because at one point you really, they will just, actually, I think there was a statement I also had where it's in tables and in when we eat, that is where covenants are established. And even in the olden times, after they have made a covenant, they have to eat together. So tables are where covenants are established. So let's be careful about what covenants we are setting up. And where we have failed, let's ask God for mercy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, we come before your presence. We ask you for mercy. Indeed, we have failed in one way or another based on our lack of knowledge, and also at times also based on our pride and ignorance and not heeding to conscience, where we have interacted in places where we should not have. I plead your mercies. Forgive us, O God. And indeed, I pray that you strengthen us, you enable us to say no, you give us the wisdom to know how to walk in these areas, to walk in love, how we can interact even with unbelievers for the sake of winning them, but as well also not to be able to fall prey to the traps of the evil one, and to also fall prey to deception of demons and to covenants that are not ours, O God. We plead your mercy. We break everything that we have taken that is not of you. Indeed, anyone that has partaken in anything that is demonic, we bind it in the name of Jesus and we remove its power. We plead the blood of Jesus, that the blood prevail, and we speak healing. Thank you for us. Thank you for our family members. Thank you for your word of healing. We thank you for this new month, O God, that indeed we walk in newness of life. We shall experience every blessing that is due to us, O God. We pray for your hand and power. Thank you for the families, the Lord, even as you have brought to the time that you shall bring everything to delivery, O God. You are gracious, you are holy, and you are mighty. May your hand be upon us, sustain and keep us. Thank you for the services that, God, you go ahead of us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. We pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom and blessed day ahead.